It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
You are tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Miss Neva Pite is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our sister, Miss Mary Fullerton. How are you doing this morning, Miss Mary?
I'm doing pretty good.
Amen. So, if you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower@cableone.net. Or you can post it to our Facebook page, or you can now text it to our text line. You can text your prayer request or your praise reports to 580-485-0837. And we will check all three and get them on paper, and we'll pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln, located here in Elk City, Oklahoma, y'all. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, please, I encourage you to reach out to Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln here in Elk City. They can find you what you're looking for. And stay tuned. Following the program, we will have a word from Pastor Dwight through the Truth broadcast. He's not in the building, but we do have a word. I think I covered it all, Miss Mary. Would you please pray to start us out? Okay.
Father God, we just give you praise today, Lord, for your sufficiency and for your grace and for your mercy. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence here. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that you would bless this time together as we share, Lord. We thank you, God, that your word is always anointed, Father. And I just thank you, Lord, that you just help us, Lord. When we have difficulties, Lord, you just help us, Lord. And you make everything work together for our good anyway. So, Father, we just give you praise today for your wonderful goodness. And we ask you to be with us during this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So your title for today is Being Prepared.
Yes, and it's kind of funny because I knew earlier this week that I was going to come on this morning, and I was all prepared with this, but somehow this morning I forgot that it was Friday. So I'm just glad that I got here.
Amen.
The title of this message, I need it just about as much as anybody does. Being prepared, you know, because there's so many different things that happen along the way that get us kind of scrambled.
You know,
every once in a while, our brains just don't work right, and we get all things messed up. But I'm just so grateful that God's grace is sufficient.
Amen.
And He's always ready, and He's always right on time. He's never late, and you know. We're going to talk about being prepared this morning. There's a lot of things that we need to be ready for. Being prepared means to get ready in advance for something, for an activity or an important situation that's coming up, to work out the details of a plan or to meet someone you want to impress or find favor with. for the first time or something, kind of like if you've started out on a new boss, you sure want to make a good impression on your new boss. You don't want to be late. You don't want to be late that morning on the first day of the job like I was this morning. Anyway, so I told you I needed this message.
Mm-hmm. So, come on.
So, anyway, like I said, you know, a lot of times we want to meet a person and we want to make a good impression on them. Acts 2:47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people. God wants us to have favor with people. He wants us to have favor with people, and so he's for us and not against us. You know, I think God is the biggest cheerleader we have.
Amen.
He is. You know, I mean, he did it all for us. He drew us to himself. He sent Jesus. He gave us the word of God that tells us all about the gospel, and he sent Jesus to die for us. And then he draws us to himself.
Amen.
And then when we come to him, he's already made the provision to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he gives us the power to live for him. You know, a lot of times we might get discouraged in the way, we might get tired and weary,
mm-hmm.
but Jesus is always the lifter of our head.
Yes. I want to read on Acts 2:47, the scripture you just gave.
Uh-huh.
I would like to read the footnote.
Okay.
Here. It says, a healthy Christian community attracts people to Christ. The Jerusalem church's zeal for worship and brotherly love was contagious. A healthy, loving church will grow in numbers. What are you doing to make sure your church is the kind of place that will attract other Christians to Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Other people to Christ.
Yes.
I love that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, it is. And we're talking about making first impressions this morning. And, you know, we do need to ask when we have visitors, do we show ourselves friendly to them?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we just leave it to somebody else?
Do we walk up and hug them?
Uh-huh.
And say, welcome to our home.
Uh-huh. Or make yourself at home, you know.
Or do we sit there and look at them sideways?
Yeah. And so, you know, we ought to give people a welcome,
mm-hmm.
because this is the house of God.
Mm-hmm.
And God is always wants people to feel welcome.
Amen.
You know, he does.
Amen.
And he wants to draw people to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we are his hands and feet in this earth, and we're his mouth. He doesn't have anybody else to work through except us.
Amen.
And so, you know, our friendliness shows the love of Christ. You know, it shows the love of Christ. So that's a good thought, you know.
Amen.
Because we don't want to be sour in our attitude, you know. We don't want to be gripey.
Yeah.
We want to be friendly and engaging, you know.
Yes.
Ask them what their name is. Show a little bit of interest in them, you know.
Amen.
And just welcome them. Tell them, make yourself at home.
You know, it's no wonder that my bonus daughter, Kaylin, had really no idea who God was.
Mm-hmm.
I claimed to know Jesus even way back then, but I was so filled with hurt,
mm-hmm.
bitterness, and anger.
Mm-hmm.
I was not a good representation of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I was not.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I called out to God, to my Lord Jesus, and he came in, and he really took me by the hand and helped me. You know, he healed my heart.
Yeah.
And helped me get in that right relationship with the Lord to be a good representation. Mm-hmm. Not to be that angry, bitter, full of hurt person, the twisted idea of who God was. He's not that angry man up there with lightning bolts. No. He's the faithful father who's standing there just looking and waiting for his children to come. Mm-hmm. And then when he sees them, he just puts his arms out and it's like, come.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know? And I'm just so thankful. So thankful for what God has done.
Yeah.
And the changes that he has made in me, mm-hmm, and through me.
Yeah.
And sorry. So, I just had to throw that out.
That's okay. That's all right. Well, that's what this is anyway. It's a interaction. You know, it's interaction. And it makes it better when we interact with each other, yeah, like that. And each one gives their own comments, you know, and stuff. So I welcome that. And so anyway, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to read some scriptures in Romans 12. I had another Romans 12. It's sometimes 9, 10, 11, 12. Romans 12, mm-hmm, 10, verse 10 and 11. Verse 18 and 20. 10 says, Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, continuing instant in prayer. And so here it says, be kindly affectioned to one another, preferring one another, mm-hmm, esteeming. There's another place that says esteeming others better than ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, and Jesus said, love your neighbor as you do yourself. Love your neighbor as you do yourself. And, you know, I got to thinking about that one day, about loving our neighbor as ourselves. Sometimes we don't even love ourselves.
Come on.
We don't even know how to love ourselves. So how are we going to love other people? You know, but as I was saying at the first, God has provided everything for us. Mm-hmm. He provided, you know, I mean, he takes us and he instructs us. He shows us things that we weren't aware of before. And he's always telling us to receive instruction. Mm-hmm. He wants to do us good. God wants to do us good. He's waiting. He's looking throughout the whole earth to show himself, to find somebody that he can show himself strong to. Because he loves us so much, just mm-hmm, like you said a while ago. He's waiting. Just, who can I bless today? Mm-hmm. Who can I bless today? Oh, I think that I'll bless this person down here. They look like they're kind of discouraged. They might need a little bit lifting up. I think I'll just send them a special blessing today, just to let them know I love them, just to let them encourage them in the Lord, you know, and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's, amen, how good our God is.
Yes.
He spoils us. He, yes, spoils. We are the most privileged people on the face of this earth to be, yes, adopted into the family of God.
Amen.
And to have our Father God as our Father. Mm-hmm. Man.
Yes.
Man. That's all I can say. I mean, you just kind of get speechless thinking that the God of this universe knows my name.
Amen.
The God of this universe cares about me. Wow. I mean, he's got this whole world to see after. But he's no respecter of persons, and he loves every last one of us all the same.
Amen.
He doesn't have any favorites. He just loves us all the same. Even those that don't know him, even those that despise him, he's reaching out to them in love. And if they'll come to him, he'll just accept them just like he will anybody else. Because he died for whosoever. I'm a whosoever this morning.
Sister.
I'm a whosoever, and so are you.
Yes.
Whosoever. You know, and he made all the preparation. Like I said, he sent Jesus to die on the cross.
Amen.
He sent Jesus to die. And then he raised him from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus is up in heaven making intercession for you and me. He's up there making intercession for you and me. So when I say God is the best cheerleader we'll ever have, he's on our side. He's not mad at you.
Nope.
I got, you know, he's not waiting to look for some way to cause you grief and heartache. He wants to remove that pain and that sorrow from your life and from your heart.
He don't have lightning bolts with your name on them, y'all. That's a lie from the pit of hell.
Yep. So
that's one of the biggest lies, strongholds that I took, you know, that the enemy, you know, and I just took it as truth. And to have that untwisted is to know that he's not that angry man sitting up there on this big, beautiful throne with lightning bolts just waiting for Monica to mess up so he can send one down and, you know, he's not that.
No.
He is not.
No. No, he's that father like the prodigal son
he
came home to.
Yes, there is a party in heaven. And the Lord, he throws a party in heaven when one of his children turns back to him.
Yes, he does.
So, Kaylin, I want you to know, baby girl, that there was a big party in heaven for you the moment you decided to turn to Christ and give your life to Christ. So don't be discouraged. You keep holding that head up and walk. And just keep showing up because God's going to show out, baby girl.
Yes. Anyway, and verse 18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And so that's, see, we're representatives of him, and he wants us to, he wants us to do our best to get along with people down here, you know. And I know sometimes people just kind of rub us the wrong way.
Come on.
You know, and it would be so easy for us to get in the flesh, you know, and sound off at them. But he says to live peaceably with all men because we're representatives of his. And it's in verse 20, it talks about even loving our enemies. You know, Jesus tells us to love our enemies and those that despitefully use us. And so here it says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him a drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. They won't know, your enemy won't know what to do with you if you're nice to them.
Come on.
Because no matter what you do, if you meet them with the love of Christ, they're just going to be speechless after a while. You know, I mean, they're, how can you do that? I've done everything to come against you, and you still love me. Mm-hmm. You still love me. Yeah. And that's what brings people to repentance right there.
Amen.
That's what brings people to repentance. Because they know that they don't have that mm-hmm. in their heart. Like, you know, because they don't know Jesus. But when you get to know Jesus, you know, then he helps you to do that. We can't do it in our own strength. We can't do it in our own strength. No. But his love becomes so real to us. And we think about all the things that he's forgiven us for. And then it gives us long suffering for the people around us. And then if we think, well, we're Christ's ambassadors, you know. What's an ambassador? It's a representative from another country. And they're representing their country to us, you know. Well, we're representing heaven. We're representing Christ's country, heaven, to those people around us. We're Christ's ambassadors. So he gives us the love. He gives us his kind of love. His kind of love is that agape love.
Amen.
You know, it's not a fleshly love, you know, like we have where our patience runs thin and you get on and people get on your last nerve, you know, so to speak. Yeah. But he, you know, and so we through his strength, even when we face these times where we're really tested, God can make us an overcomer. He said, I overcome, and so therefore you can overcome. He's made us more than conquerors through him. And so anyway, so be prepared. Romans 13, 1 and 2, and 6 and 7. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. But, you know, that word damnation, if you keep going on in your sinful ways, there's an eternity out there. And if you don't, God is very, he's very fair with us. He doesn't sneak up on you or blind your eyes. He tells you the truth right from the very beginning.
Amen.
And because he loves you and he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Hell was not made for human beings. Hell was made for the devil.
Come on.
And Jesus has done, God has done everything he can do to prepare a place for us and to draw us to himself and to forgive us of our sins so we won't have to go to hell.
Amen.
We won't have to. He did the whole thing. And when he draws us to himself, then he helps. He comes alongside. He helps us to live for him. He helps us to live. He gives us all the power to live for him and to live an overcoming life. And so, but it says he's not willing that any should be lost, but that all should come to repentance. But God is a fair God. He does not want to make us like a puppet and make us serve him. He doesn't want to just pull our strings and we automatically have to serve him. He gives us a choice. He gives us a choice of whether we want to live for ourselves or whether we want to live for him. And we don't realize a lot of times before we get saved, we don't realize that when we choose to live for ourselves, we're really not choosing to live for ourselves. We're really choosing to live for the other master. And his name is the devil. Mm-hmm. You know, we think we're going to just live for ourselves. But when you're serving yourself, you're really serving the devil. You know? And I would rather serve God and have his blessings and his life. He brings life and life more abundantly. Life better than you could ever, ever, ever have it in this world serving the devil. You think that maybe going out and partying is having a good time? But what do you feel like when the party's over?
Come on.
You know, what do you feel like? Do you wake up the next morning with hope? Or do you wake up the next morning with depression? You know. God is the best thing that ever happens to us. And he loves us with such a love, and he wants to just pour it out on us all the time. Amen. He's the only one that can hurt you, that can help you when you're going through grief. Mm-hmm. Or when something has really hurt you really bad. He's the only one that can come in and comfort you. He's the only one. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you go to the doctor where you've got something really wrong with you, and you go to the doctor, and they do all that they can do to help you. But then they finally look at you and say, I'm sorry, I've done all I can do. I don't have any more answers, any more things to try. But my Jesus, he went to the cross. And he suffered stripes on his back so that he could heal people. And when the doctors give up, God is able to do things that man cannot do.
Amen.
You know.
If you get the impossible diagnosis, the impossible, when a doctor tells you it's impossible, I am here today to tell you that the living God, God is still the living God. He has not changed. He has not lost the power. And just as surely as he parted the Red Seas, he can part the impossible. Yes. And he can turn it to I'm possible.
Yes.
Only God can do that.
Yes.
Through Jesus Christ.
He says, I am the great I am. I am whatever you need me to be.
Yes.
I am whatever you need to be. And I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
I change not. I'm God and I don't lie. I'm a God that doesn't lie. I watch over my word to perform it. All you have to do is call on him and believe, and he will meet you. He's the God of impossible situations.
Amen.
And so, more than anything, I encourage people to get to know him. Okay, verse 6 and 7 here says, For this cause pay ye tribute also, for we are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. What? Attending on this very thing of sharing the gospel with you, of sharing the goodness of God with you. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear or respect. That fear there means respect and reverence. You know, I mean, like you think about even a person of importance on this earth, like, you know, like the president or like the governor or whatever, you know, of Oklahoma or the whatever state you're in, you know, we respect those people. And we like, a lot of times when they introduce somebody, they give them an applause or they stand in reverence, you know, in respect to them. And stuff. And so that's what this is. Render therefore to everyone their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Respect to whom respect is due. Honor to whom honor is due. And so we, when we love one another and we render to each other the respect and the love that that we would love each other as we would love ourselves, you know. And so we will fulfill the law of Christ if we do that. And because God is love and he helps us to have love in our heart toward people.
Amen. And so, wouldn't now be a good time to honor our sponsors?
Yes.